Welcome back to another episode of the Wonder Podcast, the podcast where we break down and review films all in one big, long, unbroken take. I'm Austin Archer, and with me, as always, is my childhood next-door neighbor and lifelong best friend,
Kramer England.
Oh, boy, look at the mic you got there.
I know. I have a shotgun mic.
You're on location.
I am on location, and I forgot my microphone. I got all my other stuff. But I forgot my microphone.
I've done that before where I go on, I bring everything else. I bring like my audio interface and I just forget like my cloud lifter or something. And then it's like, all right, well, cool. I brought a bag full of equipment for no reason. Yes. But at least that works.
Yes. I'm glad I don't have to use my Mac microphone.
It's good you were with a film crew so you could just call the sound guy and be like, hey, do you have something for me to use?
Yeah. Huge shout out. He saved my butt for sure.
A little bit of film trivia. I didn't know this. You just said this. They call that a dead cat, the little muffler.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I've always called it. You know what? I should look.
I believe you. I think that sounds right. Because they do make it out of a dead cat usually, right?
They
usually
Yeah, dead cat mic cover. That's why is a mic cover called a dead cat? You know, film things, C-47s, who knows why they get the names that they do.
Yeah.
On film sets. There's a bunch of stuff that I don't
C-stand?
Know. C-stand, yeah. Apple box kind of makes sense because I think they use them as Apple box, like used I Apple guess. Boxes, but.
Yeah. I guess back in the day, but it would like now they're like it's closed on all four sides. You can't put Apple
in
that.
Yeah, no, you're not getting anything in there.
You're not getting anything in there. No. Did you know that we've been doing this show for a year?
Yes, I knew we were coming up pretty quickly. Are we in it?
Well, I think the first episode was posted on the 30th of August a year ago. I think that means we were recording episodes for the show at least a year ago.
Yeah, so, that sounds about right. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Been fun.
So this sort of this sort of functions as like a
100 or 1 year anniversary. Episode.
Which is nice because I think this is the worst movie we've watched so far on the show.
By far.
Yeah.
This is hands down the worst movie I have ever seen. Period.
That's really big.
It's big, but it's true. Like, this movie sucks really, really bad. And it's amazing that they made this movie. I mean, there are some talented people in here.
Yeah.
In this movie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you guys doing? Like, what is this?
Yeah, obviously, I mean, if you clicked on the episode, you know what we're talking about. We're talking about War of the Worlds. We felt like we had to do this because it's been making a kind of a splash in the culture just because of how bad it is. Every once in a while, a movie like this comes along that people want to talk about just because it's like, how did this happen? How did you know? Like, this was produced by Universal Studios.
Yeah.
And like, how, you know, and
the like, last version, I mean, they've done a ton of versions of this War of the Worlds, right?
Right.
There's a ton of versions of this. And but the last one that they made that was a major motion picture was a Steven Spielberg film
starring Tom Cruise.
Yeah. It was their collaboration after Minority Report. And I love the movie. It's kind of, mixed reviews. I remember it was kind of mixed reviews when it came out, but I mean, that is so far ahead of this movie. It's not even funny.
In fact, we haven't discussed what movie we wanted to watch next. And we had been talking about maybe doing a throwback. I'm like, maybe we need to, while I was watching this movie today, I kept thinking was like, I need to watch Steven Spielberg's War of the Worlds to wash the taste of this out of my mouth.
Yes.
Because I know that that movie got mixed reviews when it came out too, but I know it's a better film than
let's do it. Let's watch it for next week. Do you want to should we do that? Let's say we'll watch War of the Worlds next week. 2005 version, I think, is when it came out.
Yeah. With little Dakota Fanning and and Tim Robbins and and Morgan Freeman doing narration.
At the very end. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So normally we do like a spoiler-free section and then like we get into a plot breakdown. Today we're on the show, we're going to be doing things a little bit differently, mostly because I just, you know, this movie, I don't think we really need to go through every single thing that happens in this film. And also like nobody watching this, I don't think this movie deserves like a spoiler warning or like a, it's like, hey, you know what? Like, this movie was spoiled for me before I watched it, because I watched Ryan George's pitch meeting and I didn't care. I didn't care at all. That I wasn't like, oh man, I wish I hadn't known that Ice Cube's son was the, the disruptor.
Like, yeah. Oh no. Major spoiler. I think Ryan George's version and other versions, breakdowns that I've seen of this movie made more sense than this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no, the structure for this and the pacing of this was so bad.
Yeah.
There's no, there's nothing to spoil. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, here's what I'll say. In theory, the concept for this film isn't the worst thing I could possibly think of. No. One of the most, you know, like in modern history, in the last 100 years, like the first kind of popularized version of this was done by Orson Welles as a radio play. Yeah. And the idea of it was, like, what if aliens invaded Earth? At that time, the contemporary media was people would tune in and listen to the radio. So he did a radio play that sounded like a news broadcast. Yes. And it very famously like sent people into a kind of hysteria because people thought it was real. They thought that Martians were actually invading Earth. And even though if you go back and listen to it, it's like very clearly a radio play.
Well, yeah. And they said at the beginning, like, this is a dramatization, but a ton of people missed that part. So yes, they thought it was all really happening.
Yeah. So if you turn on your radio and they're talking, and the way that the radio play unfolded was like newscasters delivering news about different invasions that were going on in different places in the world. So I can see this concept as an interesting like modernization of that presentation. Yeah. Where it's like, okay, so what's the modern or contemporary version of a radio play? And it's Ice Cube watching this all unfold through various news links and Zoom meetings and FaceTime calls, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's trying to sort of contemporize that concept. It's just that the execution is so incomprehensibly bad.
Yeah, and it is such a huge blatant product placement for Amazon Prime
and everything
that I'm, and they're like, oh, we got to go against, you know, big government, and like that's really bad. But I'm like, you're being funded by a huge corporation that you're plugging all over the place. Like, Amazon saves the day.
Yeah, I think in the least subtle product placement I've ever seen in a movie, in order to get this thumb in the third act, in the finale of the movie, to get this thumb drive that's going to kill the aliens to Ice Cube, his girlfriend's boyfriend, or his daughter's boyfriend, sorry, who works for Amazon, has to fly an Amazon drone to him with this thumb drive. And the drone crashes at one point, and they bribe a homeless guy to flip it over by giving him $1,000 Amazon gift card. While the world's ending, they're like, send that guy an Amazon gift card. Yeah.
Well, I better use it. I can use it real quick.
Yeah.
It didn't make any, it was like, yeah, give him $1,000 Amazon gift card. And he's like, oh, and he like ran over.
He's like, well, since I have,
why did he just leave? He got the gift card.
But and Amazon saves the day. And also, I think no fewer than 4 times in this film, someone actually says the line, well, Dad, you're just over there spying on people's Amazon grocery cart.
Amazon cart.
And then he's like, I'm not just looking at people's Amazon carts. And then later someone's like, Dad, everyone knows you're just looking at people's Amazon carts. And then at the end of the movie, he's like, I'm done looking at people's Amazon carts.
It was like, what? Okay. Like, this movie makes no sense.
Yeah. This is not the first time that this concept's been done. This has been done in movies like Missing, with John Chu, and also Unfriended was another one that did this, where the concept is the entire movie takes place on a computer screen. So everything you're looking at is like a screen recording of someone's computer. And so you're watching them click different applications and open up the internet and open up FaceTime.
But you're basically watching the movie as if we were in the movie.
Right.
Like right now, this is what it looks like. It and looks, the quality is just about as good.
It's worse somehow. Like it's, like they went out of their way to make the visual language of him jumping around between his so like ugly to look at. It's so frenetic. The pacing is so difficult to watch. Yeah. And so I genuinely was like, when the movie was like 45 minutes of the way through, I was like, I don't want to finish this. Like, I don't care.
I was like, I can't believe I have to keep watching this. And then my son came in. He's like, what are you watching? And it was like the last like 20 minutes of the movie. Yeah. I was like, this is War of the Worlds. He watched it with me. And he's like, my son is 12. And he's like, this is the worst movie I've ever seen. It's like a 12-year-old can see that this is a really poorly, poorly made film.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, lots of really bad things happen in this movie, and there are things that we're going to keep talking about, but I think we should do something different on this episode, which is let's give our scores right up front so that we can get into kind of a special treat that we have for everybody, which I think everybody already knows if they've clicked on the episode. We have people who are in the movie here with us for the episode. So let's do our scores first, and then we'll bring in two of the stars of War of the Worlds.
Two of the stars, yes.
So Kramer, so, you know, we do scores out of 10 on this show, 10 being the best. We did give a technical rating for the craft of the film, a rating for the ending of the film, rating for rewatchability, a rating for cultural impact and significance, and a rating for, our subjective score. So Kramer, what is your technical score for War of the Worlds 2025?
This is okay. Maybe I shouldn't spoil this, but okay. This is my highest score that I'm giving this.
Okay.
And it's a 1.
Okay.
Because they made the movie. Congratulations, you made it. And I'm giving them a 1 because of that fact. Everything else, very poorly acted, very poorly directed, very poorly. All the VFX are extremely poorly made. I mean, like they tried to do things that like people's mouths are talking and it's not even the same words. And it's very obvious that they're not speaking those words. And just everything, the pacing, the timing, the editing, it's all very, very poorly done. So
there's a whole section where Ice Cube is explaining like a battle plan to government officials over a Zoom call. And it's very, very obvious that Ice Cube is just reading the dialogue off of the script. Because you can just tell the difference between like how a person's voice sounds when they're trying to deliver dialogue that they've memorized and how a person's voice sounds. Like, it sounds like he's reading it for the first time right then and there. Like, when he's like, so right now, the aliens are showing up at these different places. If you look at where they're attacking, it looks like we need to have an attack. And since we're not seeing his mouth, we're just seeing video clips of things happening while he's talking. It's like he is reading this off of paper and it sounds like it.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So my technical rating, I guess I was going to give it a 0, but I'm with you. I'll give them a 1 for finishing. They made a movie. And since I know how long the road of them trying to make this movie to what, because they were actually making this, they were in production in 2020.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that more when we bring in our guests. But the fact that like it took them 5 years to get this movie finally in front of audiences and they did it. Way to go, team.
Yeah.
You did it. You get 1. All right. How about the ending, Kramer?
0. It's bad. Yeah. They eat data. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So
yeah, the aliens eat data in this movie. They eat your data and the movie doesn't feel any need to explain what that means.
No, it's like the more that they consume, the smarter they get. It's like, oh, so they get smarter when they eat data. Exactly. Like
and he's like talking to Eva Longoria on the phone. She's like, they eat data, and he's like, oh, so that's why they're here to eat data. And she's like, yeah, because if they eat data, that's good for them. And he's like, yeah, I see. They're eating data. That's why they're at data centers eating all the data. And she's like, correct. And then he's like, what if we make the data poison for them? And it's like, let's do that to the data. And that's the end of the movie. And also, like, the end of the movie has one of my favorite parts of the entire movie, which is this really bad shot of Ice Cube fighting with CGI tentacles from the aliens and that are just clearly not there. And it's like shot on literally like the camera that I'm using right now is better than the camera quality of this shot. And it's Ice Cube just sort of like falling around in this hallway with a thumb drive in his hand. And then a shot of a thumb drive going into a computer that looks like a shot from like a student film made by a 12-year-old. And that's the climax. Yeah. So yeah, 0 out of 10 for me as well. How about rewatchability?
Zero for me. I'm sure that, I mean, it's so bad it's good. People will love this, but I don't find enjoyment out of watching this bad of a movie. So I don't ever want to watch this again.
Yeah. It's a zero for me too. I don't ever want to watch this movie ever again. It's like, when I dislike a movie this much, like I feel about the movie, like Argyle, like I had to rewatch that recently for a video I was going to make. And I was so mad that I had to watch it a second time. I was like so upset the whole time. And I'm just probably never going to watch this movie again, but you're right. There might be some people who will be like, this is one of those movies that they're going to come back to and have watch parties and have, you know, in fact, our guests, I think, are having a watch party soon.
They are. Yes.
For this film that we can talk about. But okay. This is my highest score, which is cultural impact. So what are you giving it for?
I had to hurry and do my scores cause I thought they were all going to be zero, but the cultural impact for this, man, I don't even know where to give it. Cause it has had an impact. So I'm going to give it a 4.
Yeah.
Because people are seeing this. This will influence people in some way, but it's not going to influence. It's going to be like, you'll watch it as like, this is what you shouldn't do. Mm-hmm. This is what you shouldn't do. But a lot of people, I mean, it probably will be a cult classic. So maybe it should be higher than this. Yeah. But I don't know. I didn't want to give. I can't give it a 5. That means it's like mediocre. So
No. I think my cultural impact score is like 3 or something because it has registered. Like people are talking about it online, and maybe even like a 4. And again, I could see this maybe having some kind of cult status as like just a weird, like what went wrong there kind of thing that people look at, or that people have a good time watching and laughing at with friends. But who knows how much staying power it will have in the culture. And then finally, just the subjective scores.
Yeah. My subjective score is a 0. And it was, I believe it was Bart Simpson that said, I didn't think this was physically possible, but this both sucks and blows at the same time. That's how I feel about this movie.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
I'm going to be right there with you. I was hoping that there would be something I could latch onto that would make me be like, that was kind of fun. But there was nothing. I just kept being like, is there going to be anything that I can go like, that's kind of fun. Anything I would say, like, it is kind of entertaining to watch Ice Cube just sort of do these sort of like B-roll reactions for just kind of being like, oh no. It's like you can just feel like that he was on like a Zoom call with somebody and they were like, all right, now just kind of be like, whoa, what? Like it just, and they just kind of shot like 2 or 3 days worth of B-roll of him being like, ah, get out of there. What are they doing?
Oh,
what's going on over here?
Like, you gotta, okay, now angrily type and quickly type.
Yeah. And like, it's like, there's something kind of fun about how miscast Ice Cube is in this movie. And I don't know, but for me, it's probably a 0. I think I'd give the movie a 1 or 2 if they had not left our guests on the cutting room floor.
Yes, that would be good.
The two people we are going to bring in were in this movie. They shot principal photography for this film and somehow did not make final cut for this film. But let's bring them in. The hosts of a much more popular podcast than ours.
Yes.
Two of the funniest people on the internet, and one of them lives with me. Please welcome Sid and Olivia. Oh, we need to do it this way.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. How are you guys?
I'm Ice Cube.
It's me, Ice Cube. We're Ice Cube and Ice Cube.
One of you is Ice and one of you is Cube.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. And please welcome Ice and Cube, and they go by, it's spelled Sid and Olivia, but Sidney Heller and Olivia De Laurentiis. This is crazy. I mean, I've been friends with you two for like 2.5 years, 3 years. I've been dating one of you for 1.5 years, and I had no idea you were in this movie. And I said to Olivia in the car, I was like, hey, I think Kramer and I are going to watch that War of the Worlds movie. And you were like, we're in that. And I pull over and be like, what are you talking about? So tell us the story
Yeah. Weirdly, you've known us for so long since we did it, but we never advertised it to you. Weirdly.
Yeah. I kind of feel like we've talked about it so much.
I wonder why we never brought that up.
There was a woman already cast to be in a role of a, I'm going to get this wrong because I haven't seen it yet. A disruptor ?
Okay. No. I guessed that that's who you guys, because the whole movie, I was like, where would they be?
That makes the most sense.
There's a part where there's this guy named the Disruptor who's basically anonymous. You remember Anonymous, like the internet hacker that would wear the guy. Yeah. The Disruptor is basically Anonymous. And there's this mystery of like, who is the Disruptor? And it's revealed that it's Ice Cube's son. And then at one point, he's got like a team of disruptors that he introduces his dad to.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, I bet they were one of these.
Because there's a Thelma and Louise.
Yeah.
That was us. Okay, that would have been.
It was actually us.
We were given that name when we got there. We were cast like days before it shot because they were replacing
someone else.
This is how like far away from good we got. They replaced an Indian actress, I believe, with two white girls. And the character had an Indian name and they had to change it. But originally
they didn't change it. And so it was just the original character's name one and the original character's name two.
And we were like
us. And we were like, we can't do that. We're not going to read as.
I really wish there was a version of this movie where Ice Cube's like Sanjeev one and Sanjeev two. What are you guys seeing over there? And it's two white girls.
It was like, am I getting pranked?
And then like as almost a throwaway, they were like, I don't know. I guess you're Thelma and Louise or something. And we were like, sure, whatever.
Wow.
And then they replaced us, the two white girls, with one white guy.
I love that the movie didn't bother to change his name, like through ADR to something else. He is just one guy. It's one white man, like one middle-aged white man, and his screen name is Thelma and Louise.
They could have so easily changed that.
And the other disruptors were also like, one of them was like a guy who does like all of them were people who do socials, I think.
Yeah, a lot of them are internet people.
And they replaced all of us.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and so this is one of the first of all, when you Google this movie, and you can go do this right now, maybe it'll change by the time this gets to our audience, but this genuinely has me laughing my ass off. When you Google this movie and you just type in War of the Worlds 2025 and it comes up with the cast. This is the top billed cast for this film. And this is in order on Google. It's Ice Cube, Eva Longoria, Iman Benson, who plays Ice Cube's daughter, Devin Bostick, who plays the daughter's boyfriend, H. Hunter Hall, who plays Ice Cube's son, the main disruptor, and then Olivia De Laurentiis.
Before Clark Gregg.
Yeah, you're built before
so Clark Gregg.
Before Clark Gregg. There you go.
Were we the same level of part, we had the same part. We just had each lines divided up. It was like exactly equal, but also neither of us are in it.
Sid unfortunately is billed below Clark Gregg, I believe, who is the main villain of the film. So then it goes to Clark Gregg, then it goes to Jim Meskimen, who plays the president of the United States, then it goes to Jake Reiner, who I don't recognize. This guy, he might have been like the homeless guy that they gave the $1,000 Amazon gift card to. And then it's Sidney Heller, but you both were playing the same
right.
Yeah. We were playing the same character at the same time in the same shot at all times.
This doesn't surprise me.
I don't want this credit. I don't want the credit at all, let alone do I want it to be that high up. I don't want it to be. I'm not in it. I'm not in the movie.
I just want to be credited as Ice Cube, and that's it.
I'm not in it.
It just says Ice Cube, and it's a picture of the two of you.
No, yeah. I keep getting Google alerts every day that are like, worst movie in the entire universe, starring Ice Cube and Olivia De Laurentiis. And I'm like, no, it's not. Like, no, it's simply not.
Wow. Well, that sucks for you guys.
What's crazy, though, is I genuinely think, yeah, it does. You're right. It sucks for both of you in very different ways. It sucks that, like, your face and name is visible the moment people Google it. And also, it's, like, rude that you're this publicly known duo, and they build one of you significantly higher than the other, and both of you aren't in the movie.
Neither of us are in it.
Yeah. No. I do think, though, that this was one of many, many, many genuine mistakes that the filmmakers made in the final cut. Like, the movie is obvious, it's very poorly made, as you've heard us talk about. But I actually, watching the film, was like, honestly, this movie could have used something. And giving the disruptors actual identities and making them actual characters who maybe offer some comic relief, or just something extra, could have been something. But my question is, were you guys funny in the movie, in the scenes you shot? Or did they just hire you to just be like normal people as Sid and Olivia?
I think that we were hired, really, the characters, as far as I remember, were like us saying pretty normal lines, maybe being a little hostile, and everyone else being like, you guys are prostitutes.
Yeah, I think there was like something where they were like, we're going to make you guys strippers.
You guys are like e-strippers, and we're going to like rag on you for it.
And then they kind of like got rid of that pretty immediately.
Because they got rid of the characters that were us.
Yeah, it was all just like the whole thing was very thrown together.
It was very funny.
And my favorite thing is the studio asked us if we had a leaf blower they could borrow.
Yeah, you're going to have to tell us about that.
Yeah, why a leaf blower?
Because they were going to make us explode, but we filmed this from Olivia's apartment.
Yeah, so we filmed this on a laptop with a GoPro in my apartment, and we all had to leave my apartment so that the crew could come in and drop off the filming supplies because it was during COVID. Yes. Then they left, and then we got like instructions that were all over Zoom and stuff. So we were we're like doing this with our own clothes, and, you know, which makes sense for a COVID thing. But yeah, then asked, do either of you have a leaf blower? Because you guys we're going to blow up your heads at the end. So they needed us to take a bunch of pictures of of our faces.
They had someone who was not paid by them to do the leaf blower.
Stand off screen, unpaid.
And turn it on.
And turn it on like at a random cue. And it was, of course, it never happened on time because the person was just on their phone.
But it was just like, the whole thing was just like, what are we doing here?
It was awesome.
They were like, can you send us a bunch of selfies of like the different angles of your face so we know how to blow it up?
Yeah. And I have all those pictures still because my phone, for some reason, has unlimited storage.
And I've seen the photos and they are real.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So that, okay. So when you guys were, when they cast you and you were working with them, who were you working with directly? Were you working with the director, or were you working with some sort of intermediary person from the studio that was kind of telling you how to do this, or like a second unit director?
I mean,
or whatever.
We were working with the director on the day, I think. Right. I don't know. It was all over computers and it was so fast.
It was like, on Zoom. Like we were like, what we're doing now.
That's what we were doing.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
So we were on Zoom for a whole day with them.
Okay. With, and how many hours did you guys film? Did you do one whole day? Like,
I think it was 2 days. One day?
Yeah, 2 days. Two like not crazy long days, but probably like,
and mostly the whole time we were like on our phones.
Yeah.
And on the computer and like writing notes.
Yeah, we had to be like hacking. And so what we actually did when we were like hacking is we made bad PowerPoints for each other. on purpose. Like we just like made like really stupid PowerPoints. I need to find mine because I remember finding it years later and being really proud of it.
So you guys
but
you're sitting next to each, I'm trying to work this out in my head because Yeah. You're sitting next to, are you hacking on the same computer or are you hacking on different computers? So like, do you have like, you know, you have.
No, we were hacking on different computers because we were doing separate slideshows for each other.
One webcam.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we were like leaning in and doing like one over here and one. Yeah.
It makes perfect sense. Yes.
It's so funny because in the final cut of the film, it's clear that like the movie wanted to do something with this like team of disruptors because there's this whole thing where, you know, like Ice Cube and his son come up with this plan where they're like, we're going to need to come up with a code that's going to make the data bad for them when they eat the data.
Because the data is their food.
And then Ice Cube's like, I'll make some calls. And his son's like, Dad, everyone you know sucks. Let me put my team together.
And then
they bring in young people.
All of those people on the day were really nice. They were all great and they all did a great job.
So did you get to see them? Were you working with the other disruptors?
Yeah, we saw this? Everyone. We were working with Ice Cube.
Like a Zoom.
Yeah.
We didn't talk to anyone.
No, but like we were on.
It was like we were on a Zoom and we would be all like on our phones or something. And then it'd be like, okay, we're going to read it off of the screen now. Yeah. And then we would just read it.
And then it was like all the other actors, Ice Cube and the director, but the director would put himself on. You know, like it was like a big Zoom.
It was like a big read through on a Zoom.
Yeah.
And they were making a movie that way.
Yeah. Yes. And you know what? In the beginning of COVID, right?
Yeah.
That's totally normal and fine and acceptable. Yeah. And like the thing I think that's crazy is because when we were in it afterwards, we were kind of like we kind of said to each other, like, either this is never gonna come out, or what'll be even funnier is if it does come out and we just get cut from it. And it didn't come out for 5 years. And so we just thought it wasn't going to come out. And then it did come out very suddenly and very loudly. And we were right. We were cut from it, which is iconic.
Did they let you know?
No.
Yeah. They didn't. So they didn't tell you that you were cut at all.
No, they never let you know.
My boyfriend and I literally looked through the screens of it on his iPhone because we were crying, laughing, being like, oh, let's find. Did you find? Cut us.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And then they did, and we both were crying laughing.
No, I'm actually like so grateful.
We were like, what a slap in the face.
It was also just so funny.
It was exactly what it had to be. It was perfect.
Yeah, it was interesting because we also didn't audition.
Well, no, we were just brought in to replace someone who I don't even know who it was.
And I'm sure they're lovely. I hope they have a great day. And we all got cut.
I have no idea who it was.
I laughed out loud when Thelma and Louise died, because I had heard Olivia describe this idea that they wanted to get 3D renderings of your heads so that they could digitally blow your heads up. What happens in the movie is we never see any of the disruptors' faces. And then there's a sequence where the aliens track them down and kill them all one by one. And what happens is the basically like digital mask that they're using goes away for a second and their room like blows up. And when it showed the Thelma and Louise guy, it was just like, some guy who looks like he probably was like one of the animators or editors on the film.
He was a PA for sure.
Yeah, and he just goes like this. He just is in a chair and he just goes like that, and then like a light flashes, and I was like, they definitely didn't wind up doing the like head blowing up. Like, let's do a 3D.
We had to get blown up so many times.
Austin, they couldn't do that. They only had 5 years.
Yeah, they only had 5 years. Yeah,
so they didn't have enough time.
If it had come out in like 2021, it would have at least been like, okay, I know you guys were doing the Zoom thing because it was COVID, but the fact that it's coming out in 2025 adds a level of absurdity to it on top of everything else.
Right.
I don't know.
It's awesome.
It really
blow
up so many times.
I do think it's the best movie of all time.
Yeah.
You think it's the best movie
of all
time?
And I haven't even seen it yet. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, and I think it's the best movie of all time.
Yeah, we have a Patreon, and we're having our movie night on our Patreon. People are going to watch it with us, and we're going to watch it for the first time, and that's going to be insane.
What's your Patreon, just in case people from our show want to watch War of the Worlds with you?
Oh my gosh. It is Sid and Olivia on Patreon. And I think it's the 28th at 5:30
August
or something.
28th.
But yeah, just we'll post about it on socials.
Come too. On
so if
down.
If you find our socials, we'll be posting about it. But yeah, no, it was crazy. And yeah, I'm trying to think of like fun things to say that won't get me sued. But I also feel like this whole podcast would have gotten us sued already, right?
They're not going to hear it.
No, they won't care. They cut us.
First of all,
this is all alleged.
First of all, nobody watches our podcast.
And yeah, we're not anywhere near as popular as you guys. So don't worry. You'll be fine.
But it would be awesome if Ice Cube watched this whole episode. Like of all the people who are talking about this on YouTube, if he watched this, he's just like, yeah. Let me see what these white boys have to say about my movie. And then like, just was like, oh, he's like, I like those girls. I thought they were really nice on the Zoom call. I felt really bad about having to cut them out of the movie. You know,
like it was his choice. Yeah. Like it was Ice Cube's personal choice to cut us.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Really strange.
So, okay. I have a question. Did you get the whole screenplay for this film while you were making it? Like, did you get to look at it and read it? And when you read it, like, did it make sense that why the aliens eat the Data and why Data is their food? And
well, the Data is their food. Like, you know how like our food could be like a burger or a salad or pasta.
Yes.
For them, it's the Data.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know the Data was their food until I saw the trailer.
Okay.
Yeah. I still don't get it.
But and then they made it really clear.
They made it really clear in the trailer.
Data is their food. I was like, got it. Yeah.
And that is in the trailer.
I don't know if it was not clear to me originally. I learned recently that the Data is their food too. I also read it 5 years ago.
I did not read it, just to be clear.
I don't think you needed to read it.
We were in like two scenes. It was like a couple days before. I was like, oh, probably not. And then that was probably the right choice.
And you did make the right choice. I don't know why I did my thing.
Now, so you interacted with the director, you said, just a little bit.
I think
right?
so. We interacted with people on screens. And when you're on a real set, you can clock who is who because you're, I don't know, like, we did, the director was there, right?
Interact is such a loose. Yeah,
interact is what it really, like, people were there, and we were definitely,
like, what is interact, right? Is it just being around?
Well, did he give you direction and, like, oh, you should be, you know, give me more, give me less, or be more, you know, energetic, or be more scared, or whatever. Did he give you any direction at all?
I truly feel like it was more so, like, having to do it again and again because of the tech.
Yeah, I really don't remember.
Like, I don't really. Yeah, I mean, that's what's so crazy.
I don't feel like we even really talked. Like, I feel like of everyone, I think we talked to like the hair person the most because we had to do our own hair.
Yeah, and we had to do it over Zoom.
And she was like, "Let me show you how to do it."
We had to do our own hair over Zoom, and then years later, we worked on a set with that same hair woman, and she was like,
"Oh, nice."
She was talking about Project Student, and she's like, "I did this weird Warp Girls movie," and
at Quasi. Oh yeah.
And we were just like, what? Like, yeah, it was awesome.
And she taught us how to do our hair over a Zoom. Video call. Yeah.
Yeah. It was
so
awesome.
Like a little tutorial. Nice.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering because I'm wondering like who was the director excited about this? And like, did they actually think that this was going to be good? Or I'm trying to figure out who
like,
in
what, like was Ice Cube around? Like, did he say anything? Was he like, hey, everybody, really excited to have you here? Like, did Ice Cube talk on the Zoom call or Ava Longoria?
I feel like it was business mode.
Truly no one talked.
Yeah, everyone was like, just kind of like on their phone.
It's not even against anyone. No. I wouldn't expect anyone to because it was just like we were there to read through.
No, I didn't want to talk.
And mostly we were like on our phones.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty much, like no one really talked.
Yeah, like the director would say to Ice Cube, like, okay, let's do that one more time or something. But like,
we weren't like on a Zoom call being like, so what's your family?
Yeah, how
like?
Are you guys? Like, very like, which was,
You didn't have time between takes when they're doing a different setup that you could talk.
Yeah, because like, it's like, get to know people because you're on Zoom. You can go up to someone. Yeah, exactly. Right. You can't do like a breakout room with someone and be like, so what's he like?
Yeah, so weird on like a big Zoom call.
Yeah.
Really? I have a question.
He was there. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so most recently, I think it originally the screenplay was written by Kenny Gold, and then Mark Hyman came on to do, I guess, some mm-hmm. of the punch ups because that helped. I guess, who knows. I wonder if in the version that you read, Olivia, did you catch any of the like overtly political messaging that they were going for in the film? Because this is a film that is incredibly heavy-handed in like a really like lazy but also like frustratingly vague way, where it, like, so like every time Ice Cube, I'd say probably 9 out of the 10 times that Ice Cube watches the news in this movie, it's Fox News. He's watching he chooses to watch Fox News.
No.
And then there's there's even a scene in the movie where his son is like explaining to him like, Dad, the government can't be trusted, and Ice Cube says to him, that's just fake news, and he says the line fake news, and then but then like the movie like turns out that it's like, no, the government actually are the bad guys. And the movie has this weird like libertarian thing where it's like the government is the aliens aren't the actual bad guys. It's the government that wants to get your data, and the, you know, and big government can't be trusted. And it's like got this. That's what I mean when I'm like, it's like lazy political messaging, but also frustratingly vague where it's like, what are you trying to say? It's like this weird personal.
Do you think it's a funding thing?
I don't know, because it's so heavily Amazon funded.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because it's like maybe they just needed conservative funding because everyone was like, no.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Well,
so
that's the thing. It's like we also have not seen it.
Yeah, we haven't seen it. Also, like when I was reading it, I mostly was just trying to piece together the plot mm-hmm. and being like, okay, what is happening and where do I fit in? And when I say Reddit, okay, I don't mean I took the longest time. But I did read it, but I skimmed it 5 years ago and I didn't remember any of that, but that's crazy.
Kramer's got a dead cat on his microphone. And then Sid just brought up a live dog.
Yeah.
Mosey.
She's a microphone.
That's
dog.
Insane though.
Yeah. I was wondering about that because there is this very overt Amazon partnership in the film that is really heavy-handed and very obvious. But then there's this weird thing that like the movie, it's like the movie wants to be talking about politics. It wants to be talking about the government and why the government can't be trusted with our data and things like that. But then its particular political leanings are hard to get a beat on because Ice Cube is this overprotective father in the movie. But he's also like kind of awful. Like he's just horrible. Like always spying on his kids, everything that they do. He looks at like he follows them with cameras and looks at like.
And he like shames his daughter and hacks into her fridge and like, you're not eating enough protein.
What?
Yeah. Like what?
What are you?
Yeah.
Yeah,
what
are you mean? Pretty bad. I mean exactly what I just said. That's exactly what happened.
Oh, wow. I'm excited.
He can see inside her fridge. And he looks at what she's eating because she's pregnant. And he's like, you need more pregnant. Protein. The baby needs protein. No and like, yeah, yeah.
Was she pregnant when we did it?
No, and I just looked it up in the script with the find search option. There is no fake news or Fox News in the script.
Interesting. Okay. Okay.
Allegedly. Okay, no, but, allegedly. No, this is all alleged. Okay. I don't sue me.
We're answering questions here because that wasn't in the original production script. And because anytime I hear that in a movie, I'm like, okay, yeah, it's pretty heavy-handed to have a character be like, that's fake news. And then also the fact that like mostly he's watching Fox News in the movie, I was like, okay, I don't know what we're saying here because ultimately Ice Cube's character does have to like apologize to his kids. And he's like, I'm sorry. I spied on you and everything that you did. And that was wrong of me. And I'm like, okay, then are we saying that the reason why he watches Fox News is because he's wrong? And I think it's weird that that's now part of it. And that wasn't originally part of it. And
you know,
I just
what
don't
else
know...
wasn't in it. You know, I'm just looking up words. You know what other word was not in the script?
Allegedly.
What?
Allegedly.
Okay.
Gift card.
Yeah.
And you know what word is in the script? Allegedly, 4 times. Allegedly.
What?
Amazon. guys, wait. I can't say any of this, but it's fun. It's funny, but I didn't say any of it.
Okay, so I think that what we're finding out here is that the movie was originally wasn't a big Amazon commercial, and then
I think they started making it under Universal, and then I think Amazon came in and had some changes.
Yeah, when we did it was Universal.
Oh, so an Amazon movie now instead of a Universal movie.
It is Universal. Like I think it starts with the Universal logo.
It does,
but it's. Right, Amazon basically picked it up, like, and so sure that they came in and finished, gave some money, and like, hey, if you make these changes, we'll release it. But it's
What's really weird is like the bad guys in the movie seem to have like bought the movie for distribution, and then been like, before we will distribute it, like it seems like Universal was the front end, like they made the movie. And then the back end of who's going to distribute it, it's like the bad guys in the movie bought it, and they were like, okay, but you have to put a bunch of real, you have to make the movie a commercial for us, the biggest data collectors in the world. And you like,
I still don't get the, cause again, the message is like spying on people is bad. And I'm like, but Amazon follows us all over the internet. So are you saying that Amazon is bad, but like they saved the day, their drones and their gift cards save the day. Like it's really strange. I don't get it.
Wow.
I'm guessing there were like a bunch more revisions after this, and maybe they just never read it all together.
That happens.
I mean, yeah. It's very, very true. I think honestly, it's very apparent that they did a lot of ADR work because like we kind of talked about at the beginning, like there's a lot of times where they're not on screen and they're saying things, and it's like, okay, this was obviously added in later. Or like they do the thing where like, you know how when you're on Zoom, sometimes it glitches out and you freeze for a second and then you come back in. Like they'll do that. Or like Clark Gregg has like a horrible signal, which makes no sense because he's the head of all the data for like the NSA or something. And his feed is like glitching out. And it's like, I was like, Clark Gregg obviously wasn't saying that at that point. They had him dub over his lines and they didn't want to match it. So they just made his Zoom account slow, and it's like laggy.
But also like way too much of the movie is that. Like way too much of the movie is like not actually watching people's mouths say the words that they're saying. Instead, cutting to different footage and stuff, and then like being able to really tell that it's ADR too. Like the audio quality is just like different, and the delivery, So yeah, I'm not surprised at all that the 2020 script is that there have been some significant, updates too.
Yeah.
In fact, I would just posit a theory that maybe this Mark Hyman guy was an Amazon add-on, that they said, let's bring in Mark Hyman to make all the Amazon adjustments before we release it on Amazon Prime.
Possibly.
Love his name though.
Yeah, yes. Gotta love that name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gotta love a guy whose name is Hyman.
And you mark it. It's a command. His name is a command.
Yeah. Yeah. I really do think that this movie actually would have been maybe like a point or two better if Sid and Olivia had appeared in it as Thelma and Louise, along with other like popular internet personalities as the popular internet hackers. That would be I genuinely think if I was watching this movie on Amazon and going, wow, this movie's awful. And then there was like a sequence where a bunch of hackers showed up and they were all like different famous TikTokers and YouTubers and stuff that I knew, I'd be like, that's fun. Like, that's kind of fun to like bring in these people. That's something, you know?
It is something.
Yeah. I do have to ask, Kate.
Yeah.
I mean, are you glad that you're not in the movie, or do you wish that you would have been in the movie so that you could say that you were in this movie?
No, I wish I was in it.
You do?
Yeah, because I think that it would be, it's just such a good story.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like just being like, oh yeah, I was in the Ice Cube War of the Worlds movie. Like what a crazy.
You were.
Yeah, I was, but I'm not.
Yeah. And that's, like, and to me, that's the best of both worlds.
But it is just kind of such a funny, like, I'm also really sad that we don't have footage of our heads exploding.
I know, that is actually, so the thing
like,
is,
that's like what I want the most is just footage of our heads exploding. And it's like kind of poorly done. That's awesome.
That is the one thing that I am sad about is like, there's a huge part of me that's like, oh, I'm so glad that on top of everything, like, I don't know. I'm just glad that part of me is glad. And then part of me is devastated that I don't have footage of our heads blowing up. And so if anyone listening to this is capable of making, you know, footage of our heads blowing up, we do have all the original pictures to compile into a CG head.
Yeah, I feel like neutral about like not being in it. I'm like, yeah, it happens, whatever, but I'm mostly devastated.
Yes, I agree with that for sure.
Like,
watch my head blow
like,
up.
What? My head blew up.
Yeah.
I wanted to watch that.
Yeah. I mean, the leaf blower guy was unnecessary in the whole production.
Yeah.
Personally, as an actor, I feel more similarly to how you feel, Sid, than Olivia, which is I think you both kind of expressed this, but if it were me, I would still want to have made the final cut. Cause I think you're right. It's like, I want to be able to tell people like, yeah, I'm in that movie. Go watch it. Like, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Like, and just own. Like, yeah.
It's such a rite of passage to do like a really solid B movie, like a movie where everyone's like, I didn't like that. Mm-hmm. Like, that's such a solid thing to have under your belt. It's so fun. Like, what a cool thing to have of like, yeah, I was in this movie that has a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, yeah. I'm so down for that.
And it's such a bummer
to
have the story, but like, but also I will say it is a funny story to be like, I was in this universally disliked movie and I didn't even make the final cut. Like, that's also
pretty genius.
That's also something that's kind of fun too, but
it is still a good story.
Yeah.
It's but it so is, good.
It's a little bit like, then like people are like, is that true? And what's nice is the internet still credits you that you're on the IMDb.
That's the thing, is it's like,
they say our name and then in parentheses uncredited, which I really don't know how that happened.
Yeah, like, just don't credit us.
Like, I don't know who put in our names because it doesn't make sense. So our name and then uncredited? It makes no sense. What are you talking about?
Uncredited is the opposite of that. It's the opposite of that. It's not in it. Not uncredited. Yeah. And the Thelma and Louise voice was one voice, correct? It was just one guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. It ultimately ends up being some guy that you see for half a second.
And it's like pitched down, right? The filter's like pitched. Yeah. So not uncredited.
Yeah.
Unless the cadence sounded really specifically like us pitched down into a man's voice.
Well, we had a lot of, because it was just one character, we had a lot of lines where we were just like going back and forth saying one line.
Yeah.
So it is very possible that they just went like one line, pitched it down.
Yeah.
Goodness.
Well, I'm going to listen to the cadence when we watch it on Patreon.
I'd say Thelma and Louise, the character that makes the final cut, maybe says one thing in the entire movie. I don't even know if.
Well, I'm going to listen to that cadence.
I don't even know if that character actually even wound up speaking. I can't remember, but
I think they do, but they all sound the same. So you guys could probably remember the lines and tell it, that it's your voice that has been, you know.
Allegedly, one of our lines was, if you want to be comfy, put on your jammies.
I don't know. It sounds like
it could be in the movie, but
it sounds like the kind of line that would be in this movie, but I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. There was a scene. One of my favorite scenes in the movie is Ice Cube and his son are doing like a project together and they like successfully hack into a thing. And then he says touchdown. And it's very clearly that like the director told him just like, hey, try a bunch of different versions of touchdown. And then the movie just plays all of the different versions of the. So he goes like, touchdown, touchdown, touchdown.
Yeah.
No. Touchdown. And they leave all it. And then, but they cut between each one of them and show them like in succession, like four in a row. And I was like, no. I was like, what? That's left them all in.
And then he does that too. He's like, take yourselves out of this world. Out of this world. Go home. And yeah. Like, it's the same
There's
thing.
Like
it's
a few like, different what? Parts where it's like, hey, try a few different versions of this, do it as a series, and then we'll pick one of them in the edit.
We used to do that on purpose in our sketches as a bit, as a like, like a, like, this is purposefully bad. We're going to leave in a couple of takes. Like, I cannot believe that's real.
Yeah.
You guys are going to have a lot of fun watching this movie.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. You guys have hyped us up so well for it. Like, I'm now, I don't know, because obviously I've seen a bunch of clips on the internet and we were there, but I don't know. This is exciting. I'm excited.
I'm excited to see if this thing goes to the Razzies.
I know, right?
And again, like, I am bothered that you both didn't make the end cut. I would personally like to be able to tell everybody, like, go watch that movie. It is really, really bad. And my friends are in it. My girlfriend is it. Like, I would like to. I think that would be fun for me. But
I'm so upset. I mean, I'm not. I'm like, actually don't feel anything as I say that. But like, logically, I'm mad that we didn't make it into the final cut, because there should be a video of our heads blowing being up.
And I agree with that
in like pretty bad way.
Yeah, I agree.
Also, but it does sound like it's weird that like they hired. First of all, this is the other reason why I brought up like the politics of it, because even the evolution of the character is weird to me. That it started out
That's
as like
exactly
a woman of
correct.
Like, starts out as a woman of color, gets changed into two white women, and then winds up as a middle-aged white man. It's like, that evolution is just, like, very... It's like, what is going on there?
Yeah.
No, that's what I mean. Is like,
that's what's so insane about
it. It's like a worse iteration each time.
Yeah.
It's just like, we started out fine. Like, we don't need to do this.
Yeah. You mean the first actress?
Yeah.
Yeah. We start.
We don't need to replace her. And then replacing her with us, which is just like stupid.
Insulting to anyone.
And then replacing us with one guy. It's like, we're just going, what are we doing here?
Well, cause it sounds like it's like, okay, let's go get a bunch of actually known personalities from the internet to play these hackers. But then you go and get like two comedians who are like really funny, and you're just like, hey, just say this sort of generic hacker dialogue. And it's like, why do you have us here if you're not going to like have us be doing bits or like, do, you know, like what's the
I feel like that happens a lot though.
I think we did some improv, but I think we all knew none of it was gonna make it.
They let us do improv for fun, I think.
Yeah
I'm sure they were thinking like, oh, if we find internet celebrities, that will get more people excited, and like play them against type. Like, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, of course the whole movie doesn't make sense, so
it was so crazy.
Kramer, do you have any other questions for Sid and Olivia?
I honestly, you guys covered pretty much all the questions that I had. I'm still just trying to figure out like who's most to blame about this, because like I mean, you guys are doing a job. Yeah, like, I'm just wondering like who's championing this movie, right? Like, Ed Wood movies is like, Ed Wood was the one who thought this was good and he just had horrible taste. So who is it in this movie that is like so bad that thinking like, is it a producer that's like, no, you're gonna do this, you gotta do this. Yes, please tell me who you think.
Can I pitch capitalism?
You can say that, yeah.
Yeah.
I think capitalism made all the final calls.
It very well could have. It's a good theory. I think
it does sound like they thought about taking it back for a while. It sounds like for a while they were like, should we not? And then somebody was like, no takesies, backsies.
Let's
and then
go.
It went
Yeah. Cause it took them 5 years to release it. So there was a lot of hemming and hot. I think that what this episode of our show was more than anything was us doing like an investigation into, into like what happened. This is so almost like a true crime podcast where we're like, who trying to put the pieces together of like, how did it go from this plucky little 2020 COVID production that was like, ooh, here's a fun idea, a modernization of like the Orson Welles idea of a radio play, but it's done on the internet and we do it, you know, and it's like, oh, that's kind of fun. And then how did it, what was the 5-year journey to this? Because it feels like every decision, including the decision to first recast the role that you guys wound up playing and then to cut the role completely, all of the decisions were the wrong ones at every point. And it's just sort of like, I think that we've been trying to basically forensically go through and be like, what happened?
And
I like capitalism as a good
answer. I don't think we'll ever know.
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
I think we'll never know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we're just a tiny piece of the puzzle. You know, there's so many questions that we have no idea.
Well,
Ice Cube, please come on the podcast. And give Ice Cube, come on. The story. We need you to figure out what happened.
Ava, Ice Cube.
Yeah, Ava Longoria, please.
You know, Clark Gregg seems like a person we could. I'm sure we know somebody that knows Clark Gregg.
Do you remember that? Well, do you remember this, Austin? We know Clark Gregg.
Yeah, we saw him at Sundance.
We saw him at Sundance. We walked by and he said hi. Yeah. So,
Clark
Gregg, we're friends now, you know, back in like 2012 or whenever we went up there.
I bet if we just sent Clark Gregg a cold email and said, we said hi to you at Park City at the Sundance Film Festival 12 years ago. Do you remember? He'd be like, oh, of course.
Oh, of course. I remember you guys. I'm sure. You have that podcast I watch every week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, he'd come on the show and he probably has more answers than we do about you know, but thank you so much, Sid and Olivia, for coming on and helping us try to piece this together. What an honor to have you both on our show. Both.
Listen, we're no help at all. If anything, we made you more confused.
This was great.
And where can people find you? I mean, if there's people in our audience who are like, I don't know who these lovely young ladies are, but I'd like to know more, where can they find that information?
You can find us at Sid and Olivia on everything, and where that's across the board our handle, so it's easy to find Sid and Olivia, and that's it.
That's the whole thing.
We have a podcast, we have a Patreon.
Great. And everybody should get into it, and don't worry about watching them in War of the Worlds because they're not there.
We're not there.
We're not in it. Yeah. So,
yeah. Cool. Well, this was a lot of fun. As we said, we're going to be watching War of the Worlds by Steven Spielberg next time. So, you know, whatever. Do your thing. Like, share, comment, subscribe. Yes, Sid, what's up?
I just have one thing to say about that movie because I'm not going to be here next episode. And I need to tell you.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Nice. I think the best child acting of all time is Dakota Fanning in that movie. The best child acting.
She talks about this all the time.
I bring this up weekly.
That's awesome.
Okay.
Best child acting of all time. She deserved an Academy Award for that. She is a killer actor in that movie.
I mean, the name of our podcast is The Oneer, and there are some very famous Oneers.
There are.
Steven Spielberg likes Oneers, but some of his... there's like a couple of like his best Oneers in his career, arguably, in that movie. And in one of them, Dakota Fanning is featured heavily, and she does some pretty impressive acting.
When she's in the car, right?
Yeah.
Because that's like one of his most famous, look at this Oneer that he does, which is great. Yeah. And she is, Dakota Fanning is pretty amazing in that movie. Pretty awesome. Yeah.
She also just, that was the era I really do feel like where between her and Haley Joel Osment, child acting was on fire in Hollywood in the late 90s, early 2000s. Those two, and it was really those two, they were, and like Lilo even, like Lindsay Lohan was like throwing down. You know, like there were a lot of kids
she
that were,
was,
this child is on fire, right?
Yeah, Lilo was unreal. One of the best child actors too. Like just really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So tune in and we will talk about you know, the golden age of child acting and and a better War of the Worlds movie that unfortunately still doesn't feature Sid and Olivia, but and thanks
what
for
you gonna us. Do? One
maybe
day.
In the next maybe the next version you guys can be in.
Yeah.
You know, in 2040.
Yes.
We'll have to make it.
Yeah.
We'll make that
well,
one.
Well, we filmed that one last year, but it's coming out in 2040.
Yeah. The 2040 one.
Right.
That would be on brand. Yes.
Right. It was recently purchased by OpenAI, and they need to do a lot of rewrites before it can make it.
2040 is also the year that people have predicted that society will collapse. So that's a good year for it to come out.
Oh, good.
There we go.
Fantastic. Can't wait.
Perfect.
And I think honestly, that's like that's a 15 years is more than I would give us. So, okay.
Yeah.
Fair. All right. Okay. Well, thanks for joining us, Olivia. And thanks, everybody.
Thanks for having us. The data is their food.
Yes. The data is their food.
Yeah, the data is their food.
It is their food.
The data is their food.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.